Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There are nearly 10,000 breweries in the United States. Cheers. More than half are owned entirely by men. But that's a recent thing. Turns out for thousands of years, women were at the forefront of brewing and fermenting. And today, several organizations are trying to bring the women back. Jill Ryan of member station KJZZ in Phoenix looks at the role beer played in shaping gender equality in the U.S.
It's a Wednesday night at a bar in Mesa, Arizona. Two wrestlers are coming face to face in the final round for the championship belt. This is arm wrestling. And it's all in the name of raising funds for women in the beer and other fermented alcoholic beverage industries.
Winner, winner, banquet beer dinner!
This event is raising money for the Arizona chapter of the Pink Boots Society. Pink Boots is an international nonprofit with 3,000 members worldwide. Blanca Quintero is the head of the society's board of directors. She says Pink Boots started out as a networking group, but its goal expanded to educating the industry's women and non-binary individuals to advance their careers.
Offering scholarships that help in education of the brewing technologies. And then also, like, there's, like, leadership opportunities.
She says the industry can make some women feel isolated, and Pink Boots is a way for people to share their experiences.
And the industry is continuously getting called out to do better, to, like, work on, like, their issues with, like, misogyny and sexual harassment. Like, all of these things happen in any industry. But I think this organization, even though its core is education and, like, helping people in that realm, it's also still very much a networking organization.
Gender also plays a role in unfair scrutiny. That's according to Billy McGovern, who started the Arizona chapter.
I was in a place in northern Arizona where we did brew school, and I had this group of home brewers that asked me so many questions. And afterwards, they came up and apologized because they said, "We're shocked that you actually knew the answers."
But the industry was not always male-dominated. Women have an ancestral role in beer making.
You know, just for these last 250 years or so, we haven't had it.
That's Rachel Benkowski, who co-founded the Beer Babes Family, a small nonprofit based in the U.S. and Canada that also helps women and non-binary people. She is also an Egyptologist.
Women have always had a really profound part in beer and beer culture, pretty much up until the Industrial Revolution. So we're talking like ancient times, ancient Mesopotamia, ancient Egypt, through the Middle Ages where alewives were literally making beer for their entire communities.
Beer Babes gives one business grant a year to help women in the beer industry. And by the numbers, it seems to be needed. Food and Wine magazine reported in 2021 that more than 58% of breweries were owned entirely by men, with just 3% entirely women. It wasn't that long ago, too, when at least one state banned women from bartending unless their father or husband owned the bar.
It's something called romantic paternalism.
That's Claire Cushman with the Supreme Court Historical Society. She's talking about the Gossert v. Cleary case, which in 1948 challenged a Michigan law on the grounds that it violated women's constitutional protections.
The argument was that bars are dangerous places. They're not a place for women, that they are places where men, you know, get drunk and misbehave, and that to protect women, they should not be allowed to bartend. But in fact, the true intent behind the case was economic.
At the time, the way the nation's high court evaluated the constitutionality of a gender-related case was by using a low-level test that Cushman explained as, does the law make sense? Is it rational? The Michigan law stating that a woman couldn't be a bartender unless she was the wife or daughter of a male owner was upheld in a 6-3 decision. But was repealed by the state legislature in 1955. And then the Supreme Court rejected its own decision in 1976 when another beer-related case came to bat for gender equality.
In Oklahoma, there was a law that said that women could buy this 3.2 beer at the age of 18, but that men had to wait to 21.
The lower and appellate courts both sided with Oklahoma, allowing the law to remain. But then the unexpected happened. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled against the state. On top of that, a new, stricter evaluation system was created for gender-based cases. Back in Arizona, the local Pink Boots Society continues to educate through their meetings, as well as sponsored trips, which Billy McGovern says help even the playing field.
So it's not just about being female or non-female. It's about learning the process, learning everything, and doing everything properly so that eventually we're not judged on our sex and it's just the best person for the job.
It's aiming for gender equality in the beer industry, one brew at a time. For Here and Now, I'm Jill Ryan.